Do you guys care about going to war in World War III? Because we do. We are anti-war on this show. So get ready for NATO to use this drone story as a reason to launch World War III with Russia. They will use any excuse that they can to launch a war against Russia. And according to TASS News, legendary journalist Seymour Hersh is reporting conversations that he's been having with the United States and NATO military officials that the U.S. is getting ready for war with Russia if Russia makes major advances against the capital city of Kiev in Ukraine. Quoting from this report, and here's what Seymour Hersh is saying, the United States can intervene in the conflict in Ukraine with the prospect of Kiev's defeat. American journalist Seymour Hersh says, they tell me the game will be like this. This is NATO. We support NATO in offensive operations against the Russians, which will not deceive the world. It is we who are at war with the Russians, said Hersh, who has extensive connections in military circles and special services of the United States. In addition, the journalist, talking about the threat of a direct conflict between the United States and Russia on the basis of Washington's plans, according to his testimony, specifically mentioned the formations of the 82nd and 101st Airborne Divisions of the American Ground Forces. Can you guys believe this? Which are being transferred to Europe. We're talking about brigades, Seymour Hersh says, not battalions, but brigades. So Seymour Hersh saying, this is NATO. He's basically saying the game will be like this. This is NATO. We support NATO. If they're going to go in against Russia, we got to support them. So we can sort of pass the buck to NATO that it's not necessarily we that are at war with Russia. It's NATO, but we need to be supportive. We are going to send troops in that regard, according to TASS and what Seymour Hersh is saying.
I mean, how do we make the distinction anymore between NATO and the United States?
We don't. Is there any
United
daylight?
United States Monday. No.
Yeah.
Money.
Well, and that makes it no coincidence that Zelensky just said we need to go on the offensive. The U.S. needs to help us go on the offensive so that Russia understands that, you know, the United States will help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
He's been asking for this all the time. He's not been parsing words about the fact that he wants American weapons. He did say to Congress, we don't need American personnel, but they wouldn't say no.
Yeah, exactly. And we already know there are boots on the ground there already, you know, just not in the capacity that we're talking about here, because a brigade, just so we're clear, is made up of multiple battalions and has between 3,000 and 5,000 troops. So this would be significant. Now, these warmongers are working overtime right now, trying as hard as they can to bring about a world war. I'm going to show you some of that evidence in a moment. But first, overnight, we had some really troubling movements from the United States and allies towards Russia, all because a U.S. drone crashed over the Black Sea, basically right on Russia's doorstep. And I think Michael Tracy has the best hot take on this. If true, it's simply intolerable that Russian aircraft would have struck an American aircraft flying over the Gulf of Mexico. Oh, wait, wrong body of water, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's like you have something on someone else's property and then you shoot it down. They're like, how rude of you to not let me in there.
Wait, we're literally flying drones at the Russian border over Crimea, right up to their door. What do you think is going to happen? Even if this craft, we don't know what's the circumstances fully of this craft, but eventually something's going to happen.
And that's why the United States rhetoric is calling this unprofessional. Like, that's rude.
That's
basically just rude.
It's unprofessional.
And this is just our MO. I mean, we're at the South China Sea. It's like, and we have the audacity. If they're like, we're like, hey, they told us, they tried to box us out of the South China Sea. They tried to do this. It's like, it's offensive to us, but yet it's not offensive to them that we're there, that we use these intimidation tactics all over the world.
Yeah, exactly. So I love this idea that if it was in the Gulf of Mexico, what would happen, right? Of course, this would happen. Think about our response to a balloon, right? A Chinese balloon. Then NASA said, no, it was ours. And that, think about that. We're shooting down a Chinese balloon, a balloon invasion, shoot it down.
Well, the U.S., you know, in that case, acted unprofessionally.
Yeah. They shot a balloon down over our airspace.
It was inappropriate and unsafe and unprofessional.
Right.
That was unsafe and unprofessional.
And now we're doing the exact same thing, and we're surprised that they're doing the same thing. We're surprised about this. So members of the deep state are calling on NATO and the U.S. to increase its troop presence along the Russian border. So this is Mick Mulroy, a former senior Pentagon official. He said that the U.S. must make sure Russia understands it cannot bring down U.S. unmanned assets with impunity. If the U.S. were to not fly in that airspace, we would be ceding that airspace, he said. We must increase our presence now to ensure that Russians do not benefit from this unlawful act.
Okay, that's very intrusive.
Yeah, if the U.S. were not to fly in that airspace, we would be ceding that space. So we must increase our presence there. We
By
must
that
send
argument,
more aircraft.
We must be everywhere.
Well, we are.
Because if you're not everywhere, you cede it to somebody else. That's the same argument being used for space.
Well, and the Arctic, right, yeah, space, the Arctic. I mean, again, this is why we should be concerned. You have a former Pentagon official saying we must increase our presence now to ensure that Russians do not benefit from this unlawful act. Last night, warmonger-in-chief Sean Hannity opened his show by calling on President Biden to launch World War III against Putin. Watch.
Russia and Putin's hostility and aggression against our country, the United States, has now reached a dangerous new height. Now, tonight, the question is this. What will your President Joe Biden do? Is he going to offer maybe another waiver for the Nord Stream 2 pipeline? Put more sanctions in place? Putin's not going to care because he's selling his energy and getting filthy rich. He's selling it to China, the rest of the world. And all of this comes as a new axis of evil is emerging between these three top geopolitical foes. China's dictator Xi is now scheduled to hold a very rare but significant meeting with Putin in Moscow. So how much you want to bet they'll probably be trading jokes about just how pathetically weak America's president is? This is beyond embarrassing. This is danger. Danger to the safety and security of the entire world. America's enemies are on the move. They are aggressive. They are consolidating power. They're creating partnerships and alliances that the world better take note of while Joe Biden, your president, is asleep at the wheel. Russia and Putin took out an American drone over international waters. And I ask again, Joe Biden, what are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? Go to war with Russia. Russia's aggression.
You know, I was just going to say how irritating it is. It's like you have CNN, MSNBC, they're never critical of Biden unless it comes to war. It's like if you want to see the media get behind a narrative, they love war. They all come out to call for war. But then they're critical, not critical about other things that Biden does. It's just crazy.
Yeah, this is where they're united in this, of course. Mm-hmm. So Russia's aggression against our country. Sorry, I missed that part. Sorry, I missed that part, Sean. Russia's aggression against our country?
Well, he said they're poking fun. That's aggressive. In this, the United States loves microaggression. And, microaggression is a cause for total societal change. And so if they're poking fun, that's an aggressive. That's a very leftist stance. I'm surprised that Sean Hannity would take it.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I missed the part where Russia blew up our pipeline. And where Russia sent tanks to Canada to invade or provoke us into a war. Like, I'm sorry where that happened. Maybe I missed that part.
The worst thing that I've seen Russia do, if it is true, I saw it on Twitter, is use Biden in the dementia ad campaign. Like, that's about the worst thing I've seen them
again,
publicly do.
Microaggressions.
Yeah, these are passive-aggressive aggressions. So CNN is in on the game, too, calling it unintended escalation. When you fly drones on the border with Russia, that's not unintended. Watch.
Admiral Kirby, the U.S. Air Force characterized this move today, quote, as aggressive actions by Russia. They said it could lead to, quote, unintended escalation. That's some strong language if this was just a misunderstanding. What kind of escalation?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think Natasha covered it. I mean, somebody could have gotten hurt. Nobody wants to see that happen. And it could lead to miscalculations between, two militaries that are operating not obviously in Ukraine together, but certainly in proximity in the region. And we don't want to see this war escalate beyond what it already has done to the Ukrainian people. And so this was inappropriate, unsafe, unprofessional conduct by the Russian pilots.
Somebody could have gotten hurt on an unmanned drone because maybe it could have hit a landmass. Sure, but are we concerned about Russian pilots? That's what we're doing now?
No. Kirby also said that we haven't recovered the drone just yet, but we have a team there that's making sure Russia won't get it. Okay. here's an idea. Why not send the same team that blew up the Nord Stream pipeline? And they're good at deep sea diving. Mm. They can go down and fish it out.
How can you do that? Go there and make sure they don't get it?
I don't know.
Didn't we have the exact same narrative play out in Iran where they shot a drone down and then they were like, oh, we can't let them have it. And then they got it and they're like inspecting it and it was on the news and like, they're inspecting our drone. They're going to find out the technology. And it was like, this was a big narrative for months on like CNN.
Yeah, exactly. And meanwhile, you have Senator Lindsey Graham calling for regime change and removing Putin. This is the guy that's been calling for this now for months. Now, he throws a whole bunch of spaghetti on the wall, hoping at least one of these wars that he wants will work for us so that we can push the United States further into this world war. Watch him last night as well, pushing for this.
So, President Biden, you're the Rodney Dangerfield of world leaders. Nobody respects you. And if you don't change your game and up your game, we're going to have World War III. Here's the next war that's coming. Israel is going to have to take military action to stop the Iranians from developing enriched uranium to the point it can become a weapon. They're at 84%. All they have to do is get to 90%. And we're not doing a damn thing about the Iranians trying to develop a nuclear bomb under our plain sight.
I would like to know, we know that Russian drones are flying over Ukraine.
Yeah.
Why don't we shoot down two of theirs and send a message? You shoot down one of ours, we'll shoot down two the first time, 10 the next time.
We're being walked on, we're being crapped on, and we're about to have a major war because China is sizing up Biden, and they're going to go into Taiwan if we don't up our game in Ukraine. Biden's always late to the game. He's late to give them tanks.
He won't lift a finger, Senator. Mark my words, he wouldn't lift a finger.
Number one, if Putin gets away with this, there goes Taiwan. The two are connected. So the administration, the Biden administration, it's been slow and weak. Every time Ukraine needs a weapon system, we have to beg to get it. So I'm all in to win it. And you're not going to win this war by bleeding Ukraine dry and giving them weapons they need too late to affect the outcome on the battlefield. So Joe Biden's a disaster on the foreign policy front. We're in free fall. I've never been more worried about world stability than I am right now.
You're doing a lot to help that world stability, by the way.
Right. I am really buying this aggressive big stick masculinity.
So we need to help Israel. That's one thing we need to do. Then we also need to we need to destroy Putin. That's the next thing we need to do. We need to destroy China. That's the other thing. And if we don't,
and invade Mexico.
He's like, they're all connected here.
And if we have some extra time, we can take a look at Argentina later. They're getting a little independent down there. We don't like that.
Yeah, we're going to try to undermine them.
We'll work on that later.
So
Antony Blinken's in Africa this week. We'll see, you know, if we can pick on anybody there.
Yeah. So he's been pushing for war against Russia since 2017. Here he is in Ukraine telling them that we're going on the offensive. This is 2017. We're going to go provoking Russia. We will arm you. We will send you billions of dollars in weapons. When we get back to Washington, we're going on the offensive. Watch.
I admire the fact that you will fight for your homeland. Your fight is our fight. 2017 will be the year of offense. All of us will go back to Washington and we will push the case against Russia.
So then he went on a little Twitter tirade last night. Remember, he's a senator with a lot of power. And he went on a Twitter tirade last night saying the Ukrainians are fighting like tigers and can win with American weapons support. They are not asking for boots on the ground. And by the way, he's friends with Biden. Now, he calls him publicly a disaster, but he's friends with him. So he knows the game they're playing. He can sort of play good cop, bad cop, I guess, and get more weapons for Ukraine. But he's saying they are not asking for boots on the ground in Ukraine. What? That's a bald-faced lie. Ukraine has been asking for troops for almost a decade now and pushing for it. In fact, during that 2017 meeting we just showed you, Ukraine asked for troops. That was one of the things they were discussing. So the idea that they don't want boots on the ground is a canard. It's laughable. So I don't know what the hell he's even smoking.
No, it's a spin. But they've been saying it all along. We just want the weapons. We don't want soldiers. That's what Zelensky said to Congress. We don't need you to show us how to use this stuff as if it's a self-explanatory toaster.
Right.
We can do it ourselves. Just send the stuff.
Just send us the jets. We don't need any training.
Yeah.
We've got some guys. We've got Dimitri over here who can jump into one of these American jets and fly it.
As
He's
if
fine.
It's the Matrix. Yeah, just... It's like, I need a pilot program.
Yeah, he played Afterburner in the arcade, so he knows how to fly this thing.
When you send the jets, could you just like leave the pilots inside them when you're shipping them?
Just pack them up. Make sure there's a little meal
some
in there.
Packing peanuts.
So then he went on to say, when American leaders tell an adversary that they will not do in a conflict, it sends a signal of weakness and generally prolongs the conflict, making it more likely to spread. Then he says, we had 8 years of Obama sending mixed signals to our enemies that led to more aggression. We do not need to go down that path again.
Wrong. Really? Obama actually dropped more drones on people than
bombs,
any other. Drone bombing in Syria started under Obama. A lot of people died under the Obama administration.
And he sent 30,000 additional troops to Afghanistan, Obama did, for America's security, Obama said. 30,000 Americans? Like, that's a mixed signal?
And, I mean, a lot of people just missed it because Obama was cool and fist bumping people. Mm-hmm. But he was also very busy bombing brown people.
Smoking cigarettes and playing basketball. He's the cool president. Don't look over here while he's meanwhile sending 30,000 Americans to die. Go ahead.
Well, and Bush started the drone program, and then Obama came in as the peace candidate. I mean, a big reason he won is because he was the peace candidate. He won the Nobel Peace Prize, and then he came in and increased the drone program by 400%.
Yeah, he did worse. He increased, I mean, it's unbelievable. He wins a Nobel Peace Prize. These people run on a Bernie Sanders, they run on a platform of peace, Hillary Clinton on a platform of peace, Obama on a platform of peace, and they do the exact opposite. They vote for war. They do the exact opposite when they're in power.
Yes.
So attack Russia right now. That's the message you're hearing from Congress. Of course, these are the same warmongers, the same ones calling for us to launch attacks against Russia after a missile went into Poland. You remember that a few months ago? Turns out it was Ukraine that fired that missile, but who cares, right? Doesn't really matter. It's any kind of false flag that we can use to justify a war, a drone, a missile into Poland. Who cares? We need to figure something out so we can launch a war against Russia. Right now, a Russian jet, doesn't matter. The official line right now on all of this, and has anyone even stopped to ask the question what about this drone that was actually struck down by a Russian jet? Like, we've moved past the point of even caring, like, how it came down. We're just like, oh, yeah, Russia shot it down, so we need to go to war.
But this is not what Russia said about it.
Right, so let's actually, like, unpack a little bit of this drone going down, and did Russia shoot it down? According to the Pentagon, the Pentagon says, the official line from Washington is that a Russian jet clipped the propeller of this drone with its tail fin, okay? So get this, a Russian jet swoops by and clips it, and that causes the drone to go down.
Well, they also, you missed the part about how they first doused it in fuel.
Oh, I'm getting to that.
And then clipped, okay, all right,
well,
you get to that.
No, CBS will get to it, because they made a whole graphic. It's like they had a whole graphic and movie produced within minutes. It's amazing how CBS, which is a mouthpiece of the intelligence state, somehow managed to have an entire graphic ready to go to explain how Russia took this drone down. Watch.
But never like what happened today. A Russian jet approached from the rear, dumping fuel. U.S. officials believe it meant to come up in front of the drone so it would fly into the fuel cloud, but pulled up too soon and clipped the drone's propeller, which is located in the rear. The drone's controllers could do nothing but let it glide into the sea. For more than half an hour, two Russian jets made a total of 19 passes on the unarmed drone, popping up in front to blast it with their jet exhaust and trying to drench it with fuel. On the final pass, the Russian pilot missed his approach. Just bad piloting, one official said.
Okay.
They're bad pilots.
Okay. I love this.
Now we're hitting below the belt.
So CBS, first of all,
things are closer than they appear.
Right.
In the mirror.
Bad piloting.
It's that fuzzy dice in my rearview mirror.
It's that one. It's that one-eyed patch pilot. Did one-eyed Dimitri go flying again for
Patches
us?
Patches McCoolahan or whatever.
Come on, Maverick. So really, that's what happened here? Okay, maybe. Right, maybe. We'll take the Pentagon's word for this. But what happens if a Russian jet hits a drone midair going that fast? Do you think it's just like a flesh wound?
It's just a
flesh wound. Yeah. I'm sorry. What Russian is going to put their jet in that type of harm's way? You ever see a midair collision, even a clipping of a midair collision? It doesn't end well. So you mean to tell me that a Russian jet just nudged a drone in midair and knocked its propeller off, and the Russian jet is fine and the pilot is fine? I mean, the whole thing stinks to me.
Well, yeah, because think about the difference really quick in speed. Those drones don't go anywhere near as fast as a jet. They're not jet propelled.
Right.
Right?
Right. I mean, yeah, they're propeller propelled. Right?
Right. So that would have to be a slow moving object mixed with a very fast moving object.
Right. Yeah. Right. And nothing happens to this Russian jet. It's just bad piloting. Okay. Right. These guys patrol these waters every day nonstop. Do you think for a second that this is what happened? I don't. But maybe it did. Do you guys believe the Pentagon? Let me know in the chat below or CBS News that this is how it happened, right?
Well, we should read the Russian statement of what happened.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so the Russian statement said that as a result of sharp maneuvers around 9:30 a.m. Moscow time, the MQ-9 unmanned aerial vehicle went into an uncontrolled flight, lost altitude, and collided with the water surface. The Russian fighters did not use weapons, did not come into contact with the UAV, and returned safely to their home base. So it would seem, if their explanation holds any water, that they realized, that the remote pilot realized they were being tracked by jets, tried to sort of get away from them by sharp maneuvers, and lost control of the drone.
Yeah, and also, according to Russia, the transponders were turned off on the drone. So it's basically its ability to maneuver was turned off, right? Its ability to connect and actually communicate was turned off. So then this thing goes in the water. But Russia says none of our jets were hurt in this. And you guys were caught red-handed and crashed into the water. And now you're blaming it on us? Nord Stream pipeline.
And think about, like you're saying, If a plane hits something, a bird can literally take a plane down.
Yeah, great point.
It happens all the time. So if they're not going to be like, oh, that'll buff out, you know, like they get back to the plane, the landing site or whatever, we could just buff that right out. No, that would damage that plane. They're aluminum.
$26 million planes? Like, you mean to tell me they're going to just take a risk in tapping its propeller? You know, like we're going up and some kind of a cartoon where I'm just going to tap my wing against your wing and say hello to you. Like, that doesn't happen. Like, that's not going to happen. So anyway, in all of this, it's crazy. So as a result of this downing of this craft, of course, the Senate is jumping into alarm mode. We heard from Lindsey Graham, but today the United States Senate sent a letter to the president, or to Lloyd Austin, with these senators signing their names to this laundry list of requests to send jet aircraft to Ukraine. Because of this, because the United States has had aircraft now or drones shot down by Russia, we need to snap to attention. They immediately had this letter ready to go. It's kind of amazing. And these are the senators: Mark Kelly, Tim Kaine, Lisa Murkowski,
Tammy Duckworth, Tommy Tuberville, Jackie Rosen.
Yeah.
Martin Heinrich.
So this is definitely a bipartisan.
This is not a great graphic, Clayton. You lectured me about not doing graphics like this today.
Well, it's the document is so large, I couldn't do anything else with it. I know, actually, when I was clipping this one, I was like, this is like a Natalie graphic. You can't read it.
We got in an argument this morning about how to graphically present things to you, because sometimes I put too much in a small space, and so... I took the lecture and then he went into
this. This is a Natalie graphic, but I just wanted you to see the signatures. That's really all I care
Thank
about.
You.
The signatures of these senators. I didn't ask you to read this. So anyway, yeah, the United States wants jets sent right now to Ukraine. On top of that, Poland is sending jets, not to be outdone, says this morning that it may send its MiG-29 fighters jets in 4 to 6 weeks now because of what's going on here. Polish Prime Minister says that Warsaw could give Ukraine Soviet-made MiG-29 fighter jets within 4 to 6 weeks. That would be a significant escalation in NATO support, according to Dave DeCamp. Yeah, so let's do this.
I guess Poland's over the whole missile in the farm field
We're
going
to talk
there.
About Poland when we get to the Pfizer documents, because did you know that Poland has declared a force majeure in order to not pay for or receive any more COVID vaccines?
No.
Yes. And so Poland is saying, because we have a refugee crisis, because we are so overwhelmed by the current conflict, they declared this last May. It's been almost a year that they have said, please, no more COVID vaccines, and we will not be paying you. And that's being litigated in court. So when we later today, in our last segment, talk about the COVID vaccines that the European Union is arguing about paying for and receiving, and at the same time, the mainstream media is telling you, Poland's fine. They want this conflict. They support Ukraine. They're not hurting at all. That's false, because both things can't be true. They cannot declare a force majeure over the conflict and also be fine.
Yeah. Well, we know Poland, you know, we've been covering Poland on this show for a while now, and they are not fine.
They are not fine.
So we got to find this drone. And if they say that they're circling over this drone to find this right now, they better find it soon before Putin fishes it out of the sea, because you know how good he is, like, fishing stuff out of the sea.
Oh, yes.
We got exclusive photos already. Like, he pulled up another one of our drones in a...
Well, when he's going down in that bubble to, you know, blow up pipelines.
That submarine, when he's going down to blow up more pipelines. By the way, did you see he announced yesterday that they found another bomb on the Nord Stream pipeline? Putin announced they found another bomb 30 kilometers from where the major explosion was. They're asking Denmark now. It's unblown up. So it's not exploded.
Oh, so
not
it might
exploded.
Have some
yeah, they're
reconnaissance.
Saying, they say, we'd like to investigate it. We're asking the Danish authorities or Denmark on this. Like, hey, but actually, we would like an international team to go look at it. We don't even want to be the ones to look at it. So go down, and we'll get some real answers on this unexploded one that's 30 kilometers further away from where they planted the other ones.
Interesting.
Get in your little submersible, Putin, or get your fishing rod out. Thank you so much for watching this segment here at Redacted. We are live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time, trying to share the stories that the mainstream media will not cover. You should also come over and join our community of Redacted Rebels over at redacted.inc. That's our private locals community where we can share exclusive content that we simply cannot share here on YouTube. Come over and join the rebellion together right now by going to redacted.inc. We'll see you next time.